Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Outbreak MMA Podcast. Yay! That was supposed to be like a Muppets
That was Kermit at the beginning of the Muppets show.
I can't do that.
We need the video. You know, when we have video, it'll be much more fun because then you can do it.
Then I can shake my arms around, yeah. Watch, I'll tore a rotator cuff or something. I'm Mark Mandrick, and with me is a lovely Ferrari.
Hello.
And she's...
It's fruit juice.
Oh, okay.
It's lime juice and that Polar Seltzer water.
Oh, okay.
It's not alcohol.
Fair enough. Last night, we had UFC at a live card in Austin, Texas. Everything is bigger in Texas, including the shitheads like Ted Cruz. But this was actually a pretty big card. It didn't look it to casual fans, but if you watched it, you were in for a what many would argue is a very exciting night of fights. I actually agree. We're gonna run down some highlights real quick. I'm not gonna go through every fight on the card.
A nice smattering of. You know,
we'll actually run down from the top on down because honestly, I think it kind of gets more exciting to talk about at least. Watching wise, you could kind of argue differently, but talking about, I think it gets more exciting as we go down. So
it's just more discussion worthy.
Yeah. Josh Emmett defeated Calvin Kattar.
Kattar, right? Isn't that how they say it?
Kattar. Some people pronounce it Kattar. Mm. Yeah, it's Kattar. Yeah, we'll just stick with Calvin
Kattar. I was happy. I like Josh Emmett. So.
Calvin Kattar comes off the Simple Man from Skynyrd, so...
Well, yeah, but as a fighter, I like
Josh Emmett, too.
Well,
he won by split decision. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm in a number of different MMA pools, as is Ferrari. And I can tell you right now, going into it, this card really didn't have many people that were playing the pools. And that probably means there wasn't as many people watching, and they really missed out. This was a great main event. I did have Josh Emmett winning, but I can definitely see how a judge would score it in favor for Kattar as well. What do you think of the fight? I liked the fight. I thought it was a very entertaining fight.
I thought it was too, yeah. And by the end of it, I mean, you could definitely tell they were going at it because...
it's funny you mention that because...
Poor Josh Emmett almost looked like, what was the other guy's? Duriv?
Oh.
His eye was all swollen shut.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I mean, here's the thing. The funny thing is the post-fight press conference, Josh Emmett was like, oh, I could have fought 15 more rounds. No, dude, no.
No.
Your face would not have let you fought 15 more rounds. But he did fight good, he fought well, and he came out with a win. And that was really what was needed. And it would be nice to see him he's getting up there in years, so it would be nice to see him get...
Himself to be the best featherweight in the world.
Yeah, so. that's a pretty lofty claim with some of the guys in that division. But
you know
hey.
What? Put him in with those guys so he can prove it.
Yes. The co-main was Kevin Holland.
Batman.
We'll talk about that in a bit. Kevin Holland defeating Tim Means via submission with a Darce choke in the second round.
There were a couple times it looked like Means was going to get it.
Well, Means is a tough guy.
Yeah.
I mean, so is Kevin Holland.
Mm-hmm.
Holland was one of those guys that during COVID, when they needed somebody, Holland was ready to go. We were talking last week where you always make sure you're in fight shape and you're ready to go with a phone call. And Holland's one of those guys that he was always ready. You make that phone call.
Well, he even announced, he said he wants to fight two more times this year.
Yeah. So. Yeah. He wants to work. Hey, he's entertaining to fight. So let it go. So
Pikachu's staring at you.
Yeah.
I have my Pikachu pants on, and Pikachu is staring at Mandrake.
So, we had Joaquin Buckley defeating Albert Durev via a doctor stoppage. Durev's eye was just really swollen. And sometimes I can argue a little bit with the, yeah, I can argue a little bit with the doctor stoppages. This one, though, no way, because he couldn't see out of it. They stopped at the third round. And so, good for Buckley. As a matter of fact, I believe, I might be mistaken, but I think Buckley might have gotten performance of the night for that. And he should have.
I think you did. We saw that on that video that we were watching.
Yeah, because he was just picking Durev apart. I mean, don't get me wrong. Durev did fight well. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a totally lopsided victory, but Buckley definitely looked good. Adrian Yanez defeated Tony Kelly with a first round TKO with punches. Yanez is somebody that the UFC is going to watch very carefully. He's very talented. He's a great fighter. And he definitely shown, look, man, he's not someone to mess with his fight with Tony Kelly. So it's going to be interesting to see where we go with that. Ricardo Ramos defeated Daniel Chavez with a knockout via spinning elbow, back spinning elbow. That was only, there's only been four of them in UFC history, and Ramos has two of them.
He's got half of
them. Yeah, he's got two of them, so.
50%.
And when they asked him about it, he's like, look, I could try this move 10,000 times. It's going to land at least once.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, for him, it's landed twice in his career. So, good for Ramos. Cody Stamann defeated Eddie Wineland. Via TKO punches in round one.
Oh, yeah, this was the really quick one.
Yeah, Wineland really, even last night when we were watching this, I'm like, man, we seen Wineland taking off the gloves, and I'm like, man, I really hope he announces he's retiring, because he's been around for a long time. He's, he's done a lot in his career. No need to see him get destroyed like that, you know? Yeah, I mean, I don't even think it was a minute in. But it
was announced today, right?
Yeah, it was announced actually just a few hours ago, which probably means it happened earlier, that Eddie Wineland hung up the gloves. He retired, so that's a good thing. Good for him. No need for him to take damage for no reason. I'm going to get to this in a second. I kind of skipped over something on accident. The co-main event was supposed to be Donald Cerrone versus Joe Lauzon.
Oh, yeah.
And this fight, it's kind of like Khabib versus Tony Ferguson. It just, I don't know, it's not in the cards.
Right.
Lauzon weighed in. I mean, both of them weighed in. Both of them were set to go. The weigh-ins went fine. And then as Lauzon's getting changed into his normal clothes, backstage after the official weigh-ins, his knee locked up on him and he couldn't move it. He couldn't straighten it out. And they had therapists working on him all day, and it got to the point where he was able to straighten it out, but he couldn't put any weight on it.
Yeah, and this sucks because, like, as somebody, me, who has luxating patellas, which means that my kneecaps don't stay where they're supposed to. Like, it even happened this morning. I woke up this morning and I could tell it wasn't dead center where it was supposed to be. And it took halfway around the neighborhood before I just took the right step and it clicked into place. And I was like, oh, there it goes. Like, but I've been there where, like, I can't bend and or straighten my leg depending on the situation.
Oh yeah.
And it sucks. And thankfully, like, I've never been at a point where, like, it's taken me out of doing anything or that it's been extremely painful or anything. Sometimes it's like a, you know, like, you know, like almost like a bump, or like if not quite as bad as like if you hit your funny bone, you know, like it's that kind of feeling, you know. But, like, I can totally empathize. Like, that sucks. That, like, you're ready to go, and then your knee is just like, no.
Well, what? and then you can't put weight on it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it I don't know. I mean, there's been no announcement if the UFC, as far as I know, there's been no announcement if the UFC is going to rebook this fight for a third time, I think it is. I really wanted to see that fight too. But
I mean, the bright side with Cerrone is he's ready to fight, and he stayed, you know. He had, you know, obviously he had his wife and his kids there, but you know that he stuck around thinking if anybody else had any last minute problems,
oh, yeah,
I'm jumping in.
Yeah, and he's always been good that way.
Yeah, he's like that, just like Kevin Holland is, you know, like, I'll fight, you know, yeah. Give me something.
Just, you got two guys that were coming towards the end of their career. You hope that the fight happens again. It may not, so we'll see. And the last fight I'm going to mention, Phil Hawes defeated Darren Wynn via TKO with elbows in round two. Darren Wynn actually trained via Daniel Cormier runs some wrestling training camps,
mm-hmm.
Amateur wrestling training camps, and Darren Wynn has trained a little bit under Daniel Cormier. Well, Cormier, Dominic Cruz were doing color play-by-play along with, and now I can't remember his name.
The dude who...
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. But I'll look it up while you know.
Regardless, Cormier was going into the octagon to interview fighters after their fights, and Phil Hawes got into a rather heated altercation with Daniel Cormier. Because Cormier helped train Wynn. Now, Cormier didn't, as far as I know, didn't help train Wynn for that fight. You know, and this is going to happen. Look, you've got veterans, some of which who have retired, that are doing commentary and that are sometimes going in and interviewing fighters. Well, just because they're retired doesn't mean they're not going to run training camps or you know, camps and things like that for other fighters. They're going to help with that knowledge. That's part of learning, whether it be martial arts, whether it be amateur wrestling, pro wrestling, whatever, is they are handing down that knowledge. Unfortunately, when really it was a very lopsided victory. Wynn really, I mean, he kind of came alive in the second round, but not a lot. You know, I mean, Wynn and Cormier, they're longtime teammates, and Cormier is almost kind of like a mentor to Wynn. And so right after the fight, you see Hawes yelling something towards Cormier, and then Cormier got in the octagon because he was interviewing the guys for TV afterwards. And Hawes started yelling, "You picked the wrong pony. Yeah, you dog, you know what I'm talking about. I'll go off, and then next week you can fight me." Now, Hawes apologized later. I don't know if it was last night or if he apologized today, but really, seriously, that was a classless move on Hawes' part. I get it. The adrenaline's flowing. But seriously, no reason to do that.
Brendan Fitzgerald.
Yes, that's who it was.
It took me a minute, sorry.
Yes. Now you mention it. So, yeah. Hawes really... I mean, for anybody. I'm just talking about Hawes right now because that's the one that did it. But any of these fighters, I get it. Adrenaline's running, mm-hmm. you know, flowing through your body. But don't be picking a fight with commentators, because here's the thing. they can put you over or they can bury your ass on the stick. You know, if during commentary, doesn't matter how great you fight, if they don't want to really mention your name very much and focus on your opponent, yeah, you get buried. So instead, even if you don't like the guy, be civil to him. It's the same thing. Some fighters don't like Joe Rogan, and that's fine. But you know what? Be civil to him because he's putting you over, which right. is going to help make you money.
He's one of the most excitable commentators, you know, who will be the loudest and
yeah.
cheer the loudest, you know, for whoever wins or, you know, a good throw or a good punch or a good kick. So, you know, you want him to at least, you know, respect you and be interested in you as a fighter. So,
yeah. So, and I mean, Cormier doesn't hold grudges. I'm sure yeah. that, you know, if Cormier calls another one of Haw's fights, which almost certainly will happen, Cormier's going to be fair about it and be nice about it.
If Cormier held grudges, he and Dominic Cruz wouldn't be able to do commentary.
I was actually just about to say that. So last night there was 13 fights.
Yes.
9 of which are finishes.
Yes.
So, I want your opinion.
I know.
Booking or good, you know, just good yeah. booking? Or was it, I mean, booking does kind of play a role in it. Or was it just because of the live crowd? And I want your opinion on it because I'll give mine.
I think it's a combination of being in front of a live crowd and the fact that these weren't necessarily the high-end, top-paid fighters in UFC. They have something to prove. You know, they want to make a name for themselves. They want to put on a show. So, and, you know, what would you rather do? Sweat for 15 minutes or potentially 25 minutes? And no. wait for the judge's decision and hope that you did enough? Or knock the guy out or submit him and potentially be able to fight in a couple months because you're not on, you know, like the non-compete because you're, you know, you were technically like not injured, but you fought a full fight and you need time to rest.
Well, typically speaking, if you fight a full fight, you're looking at least a month off. Mm-hmm. If you go in there and you end that fight in a round, you know, in like the first round or even the first minute,
yeah,
2 minutes, and you really don't have a scratch on you,
you could end up on the next week's card.
Well, typically speaking, most athletic commissions will sit you out for 2 weeks. If you don't get struck at all,
yeah,
a lot of times they'll let you fight early as the, you know, next week.
Yeah.
That being said,
for I know me, you always say, and I'll let you say it, that it's bad booking, but
in this, again, it's just my opinion. If you have that many finishes on a card, it's bad booking. It's bad matchups. It's not so much bad booking, but the you're putting bad matchups.
You think like almost like people are being fed to other fighters.
Yeah,
like
yeah. I and I'm not saying any of the fighters on this card were tomato cans or anything like that. Which is
yeah, I didn't really see that. I mean, maybe there were a couple that I was like, oh, there's no way that
I mean, we'll go back to Darren Wynn versus Phil Haas. I think that matchup, just no way. That shouldn't have been made.
But I prefer fights to go to a finish as opposed to a decision. I think it's more exciting. But we kind of had this conversation off air. I'm always going to be more of a casual fan.
Yeah.
Than a diehard fan than you.
Well.
And I'll let you, like you say, because you have such a grappling background.
I prefer to watch guys grapple for, you know, at least a couple rounds. I mean, I don't hate stand up, you know. I think stand up is necessary. That being said, I would rather see a more competitive matchup than see two guys go out there and within a minute it's over because of a strike. I mean, don't get me wrong, they are exciting. And that, and there, therein lies part of the problem, is a lot of old-time UFC fans miss the days of trying to think of a way to word this where it's not gonna really offend anybody, in particular fighters. A lot of the guys from early UFC came from the bar fight days.
Yeah.
So there wasn't as much skill, you know. You did have the Gracies, which were, you know, BJJ specialists.
Right.
And you had guys that did specialize in martial arts. You had guys that specialized in sumo. But then you had guys like Tank Abbott that pretty much used to just go and beat the hell out of whoever was in a bar. I love
that you brought up Tank Abbott.
Well, I mean, it's true, though, you know.
Three count.
Keep on talking for a second.
Okay. I prefer finishes, and it doesn't have to be a knockout. I'm a sucker for a good submission. I love Khabib, you know. I just prefer it to end definitively. I guess is if that makes
a
more sense.
A definitive finish. Oh, no, okay, then, I can understand
then,
that.
You know, because every judge is different. And I mean, and there's been plenty of fights that we've been like, are these judges high right now?
Yes.
Like, what fight were they watching that they gave that score, or they gave that decision, or whatever, you know? So there's always the potential for, you know, a little bit of controversy, you know?
Well,
with decisions. But if somebody, like, gets knocked out, or somebody taps, like, there's no, you know, you really can't argue that. I mean, in certain circumstances you can, because, like, there have been early stoppages and things like that, but it's just a more definitive end to a fight than, you
usually,
know,
yes.
Waiting, not... And I mean, and maybe I preferred all the knockouts last night because I would rather all the decisions be when Bruce Buffer's there. That way I can listen to him read the scorecards instead of Joe Martinez. Sorry, Joe. You're a great guy, but you're not Bruce Buffer.
fair enough. But I mean, like I said, that's the thing is a lot of the old time UFC fans don't like UFC now because it's not go out there and rock 'em sock 'em robots.
Yeah, it's a lot of technique. It's which I totally respect. You know, I mean, what these fighters do and like what they, you know, how they train and all that. I mean, but you can be a good technical fighter and still get a finish.
No, you can't. I mean, look.
Even like Makwan Armarkani, you know, typically,
well,
you know, tries to finish.
Well,
so.
I mean, if you look at some of my favorite fighters, I mean, yes, Jacare Souza is primarily Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He does have a stand-up game, but he's primarily, he will almost always take you to the ground. You look at Brandon Moreno. Brandon Moreno can mix it up. Same thing with Cub Swanson. Cub Swanson is great at being able to mix it up between jiu-jitsu or a stand-up game. As a matter of fact, I think one of the best fights, and I got to remember the guy he was facing. I think it was Dong Hoo Choi, but I might be wrong on that. I'll find that out for sure because I got to look that up. I don't even think you'll be able to look that up, but it was you know, if I'm going to show someone that has never watched MMA before a fight, it's going to be that one particular Cub Swanson fight because it had a little bit of everything in it.
Yeah.
I think the live crowd also played a role.
I definitely think that live crowd, you know, I think when they do them in the, what is it, the Apex Center at Vegas?
Yeah.
You know, usually the crowd is like wives and girlfriends and a couple other fighters and, you know, maybe some contest winners. So well, it's
they do sell tickets they for do, that, but they're, but it's, I will it's say limited. It's expensive.
And it's limited, you know? Yes. So, you know, there's not that, like, huge rush of tens of thousands of fans screaming and cheering and, you know, ooh. Whereas last night, I mean, there is that, like, incentive to really put on a show.
Then I have a question for you, because you've seen both sides of this.
Mm-hmm.
So you can answer this honestly.
Mm-hmm.
When I say open scoring, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. right? Okay. So just for anybody that's listening, it's not familiar with open scoring. What open scoring is that you get the actual scores.
The judges' scores are available in between rounds.
Yes.
So, like, you know, like, two judges scored it, you know, 10-9 for this fighter, and one scored it a 9-9 or whatever. Like, instead of waiting till the end of the fight.
Yes. So. And the rounds are, or the corners are informed of that. But also the audience at home, because they usually show it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Now, UFC as a whole is adamantly against, and there's plenty of,
did you hear DC say on commentary,
he hates it.
Dean Thomas was talking about DC goes, we don't like open scoring here.
No, but you know what, I do wonder if Cormier is saying that because he honestly feels that way, or if he's towing the company line, because Dana White,
it sounded kind of in jest, like, oh, we don't do that here.
But now Dean Thomas is best friends with Dana,
yeah,
and he's all he likes open scoring. He's all for open scoring. So I'll say my opinion on it in a minute. But what is your feeling on open scoring?
Well, I think, you know, Dominic Cruz didn't really say one way or another, but he did say that, you know, because they were talking about whether they would like their corner men to tell them, oh, you're doing great, keep it up, or, okay, oh, you're losing, get your crap together. And Cruz said, I just want to know the truth. You know, okay, he doesn't respond better to positive or negative. He just wants to know the truth.
Well, there's a reason for that. And I
think that I can respect and agree with that, and I think that it would make it, for the majority of fighters, whether they personally prefer it or not, I think open scoring, like, if you're in a 3-round fight, you're going into the 3rd round, and you know that you've lost both rounds, you need to finish that fight or you're going to lose.
Okay.
And
many people's argument to that, their comeback to that, mm-hmm, is going to be, if you're up 2 rounds, you're just going to coast through that third
and
round,
I mean, that's a possibility. There might be fighters that do that, but then your coaches are going to go, you got to stop that.
Well,
that's your downfall, you know?
Well, and the officials usually will tell you, look, you got to pick up the action.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've been using open scoring in Invicta for a while now, and I haven't really seen any of the fighters coast through if they were up 2 rounds.
But do you think that's because it's Invicta and they all have like they're still proving themselves, like,
that,
you know,
that's very possible. That's very possible. They might be going for a finish because they are. Look, if you have a spectacular finish, Dana White's going to take notice and, mm-hmm, very likely bring you up to UFC. Now, that being said, one of the reasons Dominic Cruz said that was because there's so many times that you listen in on the corners and the corners tell their fighters, oh, you're good, you're up 2 rounds.
And we're like, and it's that's like, a lie, dude.
There is no way that you were up 2 rounds. Maybe you won one of them.
But
and
it happens
split.
The other way, too. Like, a fighter has clearly won the first 2 rounds, and they're like, you gotta keep going, you gotta finish this, and, you know.
I would rather be told, if I was fighting, I would rather be told that I was down a round
But you are very much the kind of person that wants to prove people wrong.
Yeah.
And so that works for you. And I think that the coaches need to know what kind of fighter they're dealing with, and know how to motivate their fighter. But yeah, I think I'm just very much like I maybe that's why I like Dominic Cruz so much, and you know, we'll talk about him in a second too, because I didn't write it down. I just want to know the truth, you know, like, well, yeah. Am I winning or am I losing?
No.
And like, okay, from that information, I will change my game or keep doing what I'm doing, you know? So, and I think it's just the kind of person you are and how you're motivated, you know? Like I said, you're very much motivated as an underdog.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm more motivated by, like, facts and truth and, you know, like, I don't want to be told that I'm, you know, oh, you'll never do that, you know, like, you'll never be this and you'll never do, you know, I don't like hearing that.
No.
But I also don't like being hurt, like, I don't like being told, like, oh, you're the best, you can do it. Like, I don't like any of that pandering either way.
Well, through wrestling training. I never lied to you. If something looked good, I would tell you it looked good. If something looked like shit,
yeah,
I would be like, and
I would rather know it that way. You know, I would rather know, like, okay, I'm doing this part good, and I need to work on this. Like, it's just very, you know, factual.
Yeah.
But what thing I wanted to say about Dominic Cruz is what I said before we started is, I've noticed that he doesn't look quite so serious anymore.
No.
Like, he seems to be outwardly more jovial and smiling more and like doing like I don't know if that was on TikTok or Instagram, like the little
I think it was on TikTok, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, they look like they were probably on TikTok, because TikTok is typically for like 30 second or less videos. But yeah, he was, you know, like well, with Fitzgerald, you know, like, he took a little selfie video and,
yeah,
you know, and then when, you know, we'll talk about it in a minute, but when his upcoming fight was announced, you know, he genuinely looked happy, like, to announce it. And it wasn't like that, you know, serious Dominic Cruz, like, okay, this is, you know, now I've got to hunker down and, you know, he just seems a lot more relaxed and open, and I like it, you know, like, because I think that there, now that he's been doing commentary for so long, he's very comfortable with himself.
And he's very knowledgeable. If you if you watch some of the backstage footage of how he handles getting ready for fights and stuff like that, even on fights where he's not doing commentary and he's just working behind the scenes in production, he's very involved in what he does, and he's very good at what he does. And I think that's a big part of it is he, I think that someone might have pulled him aside and be like, yo, Dom, you're kind of coming off like a jerk.
Right.
You know, just lighten up a little bit. Because there's a lot of fans that they're fans of his fighting, but they're not necessarily fans of him, because he does sometimes come off like a jerk. I'm happy to see, look, as with anything, you know, it's kind of like, we've been to enough concerts. I would rather see a band that really enjoys what they're doing, you know, and you can tell. I mean, there was a Motley Crue concert where we both could tell they really did not want to be there that night, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I mean, any band. I mean, I've seen that with Kiss, too, towards the end of when Ace Frehley and Peter Criss were with the band, with the reunion shows. Towards the end of that, you could tell that they just did not like each other. All right, just because I run a little bit longer than I wanted to. But we only got a couple other things. Okay. Hey, you want to cover this regarding?
Yes, I will quickly cover this. Batman, Superman, Black Man, whatever you want to call him, Kevin Holland now, since October, has, fought crime 4 times, including last night in which...
Well, two nights ago.
But well, yeah, two nights ago.
The night before the event.
Yeah. He and his coach, well, I guess he and his team stopped by a liquor store, not to get liquor, but just to grab some waters, and they saw a foot chase, and somebody saying, like, if you drop it, I won't F you up, and he's like, oh, that guy got robbed. Turns out that it was, he said it was a crackhead who stole some perfume bottles. But that is in addition to in October when he allegedly apprehended a car thief. Yes. In March, he was part of a successful takedown of a gunman in a Texas sushi restaurant.
Yes.
And in May, he revealed he recently helped rescue a driver of an 18-wheeler that had tipped over on the side of a highway. Kevin Holland said, you know, he said he's still a thug. If he takes his glasses off, it's bad. If he keeps them on, it's good. So, like Clark Kent, he's more Superman than Batman is how that went. Yeah. So
Kevin Holland really, I mean, but you know what? He is somebody, we talked about this last week, about marketing certain people. And Kevin Holland is somebody that you can market. I mean, he does come off like a nice guy. I mean, he does come off kind of thuggish at times
when he's
hyping up a fight. But, again, you have to be a nice guy if you're going to put your life at risk to help someone else.
Yes, yeah.
You know, which he's done. And so that's awesome. And I do think, I think UFC should make a bigger deal about stuff like that. Because, again, and I've made this mention before, your heroes are going to retire sooner or later, so you got to start investing in newer fighters. And Kevin Holland is a good one to do. I'm not saying these guys are great role models. As a matter of fact, to be honest, now they probably are, but a lot of them came from rough neighborhoods. I mean, even with me, I got into martial arts because I grew up in a very rough neighborhood. I mean, I'm not going to get into it, but I've seen some stuff that a kid should never have to see, you know? And so it got me out of that, and it got me, so my mentality is I'm never going to let us be in that situation I was growing up. It's not that, you know, my mom or, you know, anything like that didn't try to get us out of that. She did. But again, she was a single mother at the time and with two kids. It's kind of hard to do. So real quick, we're going to wrap it up. Next week, UFC is coming from the Apex of Vegas. It is a later card. I believe the start time for the prelims is 7. I think the main card starts at 9, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a late one.
Yeah, 9 or 10. I have to double check. You can always go to ESPN and they'll let you know. But I believe, the more I think about it, I believe the main card starts at 10.
Probably.
It's a later card, which to me, I like the later cards. That being said, looking at this card, casual fans are probably not going to tune in. Diehard fans will. The main event is Arman Tsarukyan versus Matheus Gamrot. There are definitely other fights. I know Thiago Santos is on it.
Says 6 p.m.
That's when the prelims are probably starting, which means the main card is probably a 10.
It says the prelims start at 4. The main card starts at 6.
Then they changed that then. Because it originally
Adesanya versus Cannonier.
That's a pay-per-view.
That's a pay-per-view. That'll start at 10. And then Saturday, July 9th will start at 9. When is this week off that you told me about?
I don't know.
You're a liar.
Just go with me.
You're a liar. You are an absolute liar. Oh, no, my God.
No, I'm not. I will figure it out.
How about August 27th? This one's telling me, oh, there's going to be a week and that we're not going to have much to talk about, so we'll have to talk about something else. Yeah, at the end of August, so, okay.
I go by my calendar on my phone, which obviously doesn't have all the fights, and obviously has the wrong fight times. I'm going to get that confirmed, and once I get it confirmed, I will post it on the Twitter page and on the Facebook page. Again, I'm not going to go through all the fights on there because, to be honest, I assume that most people that are listening to this are casual fans. And to be honest, you're only going to recognize a couple names off this card. That being said, I wouldn't sleep on this card. If you want to see some good MMA action, it's definitely worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some good, it looks like there should be some really good fights on there. They're just going to be names that a lot of you may not recognize. So for now, we're going to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Because our furry producer is sitting there wanting to walk all over the keyboard, even though she still has 40 minutes before she can eat.
I have to go retrieve a cockroach carcass from my friend, so.
Oh, okay. Well, at any rate, we will be back next week, probably on Sunday, maybe on Thursday, not really sure, but it'll be next week. And we'll see what's going on and update you with any latest. Oh, real quick, one more thing I wanted to add in there, which I knew I forgot. We were talking about Dominic Cruz.
Oh, yeah.
He is slated, I believe it's August 13th.
I think we have it on here.
That's not a touchscreen.
Why not?
Because it's not. Yeah, August 13th. Dominic Cruz is facing Marlon Chito Vera in the main event from San Diego.
And apparently Chito Vera has beef with Cruz that he has no idea why.
Vera has beef with everybody. That being said, that should be...
I would like to end this with a quote from the band 303. Tell your boyfriend that if he thinks he's got beef, that I'm a vegetarian and I ain't effing scared of him.
Okay, on that note, we'll see everybody next week. Thank you so much.